across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, folks, as you know, cataclysmic events have been occurring exponentially. Mammals dying out of the ocean, fish coming up dead, birds dropping from the sky, mysterious meteors unacknowledged crashing into military bases, 42,000-year-old worms brought up out of the permafrost of Siberia, brought back to life, and of course the Space Force rising to the surface. All of these things compile in a message that is telling us that we are getting out of control, moving into a dystopia, an idea that maybe had been outlined in this history or fantasy of Atlantis. I mean, as this Space Force rises, we watch the shutdown of the Columbia Endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, our space shuttle system, right? Columbia Endeavor, Atlantis. You know, this is the new Atlantis, as the esotericists and the Masons and all have described, to create this new seeming utopia. But what happened to Atlantis back in that time? What caused the fall? Why did they crash into the ocean? We're moving into a new world now where AI is taking over. You can jump into your magic leap augmented reality and start having a look around as your space fence comes in and takes over your world. The Russians are ready to say, screw you, America. You can fly your own ships to the International Space Station. Meanwhile, Mike Pence and Donald Trump are standing firm on bringing forward this Space Force. Now, as many of you know, I have covered the space war since 2009. If you're not aware of this, absolutely go over to freemantv.com and go over to read and check out Space War News. It will take some time to load because there is 9 years of data on there following the creation of this Space Force. And I think I'm the only person who's been tracking it this long. So we are moving into what we were all hoping is a utopia as we move into a higher civilized state, right? As the universe moves on and we're coming forward. But yet at the same time, it appears that humans are becoming bio-robots and are being trapped into a satanic system run deep by this computer network that is all around us, even in our atmosphere. So tonight, we are going to talk with Harold Kotzvella, and it's going to be an amazing discussion as we start looking into this puzzle in this picture, digging deep into Atlantis and even getting into how the state of being is now. Now, Harold and I have been following this story for a long time, and we remember the early days of chemtrails when barium was falling to the ground and so were birds all around us. So I can't wait to have this discussion as we start to dig into how and why this is all going on with Harold Kotzvella. His website, timeloopsolutions.com, you want to check that out and get deeper into all of this story, because there's way too much to be covered on a program like this, but I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. Harold, welcome to the Free Zone.
Hello. Is it good day, America? Should be around noon at your place, I guess.
Well, we are broadcasting Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, as always.
Okay. So yeah, okay.
We keep
so
that.
We're recording. Okay.
So,
good evening.
Don't let out my secrets. Yeah. No. No. It's all good. We got to get these things done when we can get them done, so that the conversation can be good. And you know, who wants to give up their Saturday night every night, right? Yeah. You know, 13 years I've been doing this, Harold. Every Saturday night, 8 p.m. for 13 years. Can you
That's
believe that?
A long time.
It blows my mind. I remember how many times I thought, how will I keep going? I remember the second season of the television show going, there's no way I could keep doing this. You know, and here I am 13 years later. Like, oh, my God. So on a little bit of a side note, I started to dig in last week, and this is something that I've been off and on and practicing, and this is a veganism. I had a guest on last week that was talking about how our true covenant with God is really through not taking the free will of any other creature, and therefore veganism really was the standard for where we should be as human beings and finding light. And so I just wanted to share with you and with mostly the audience that I had taken this vegan diet for the last month. Really, I had one break, you know, where I actually ate a burger and just to see what happened. And I mean, that burger crashed me, but I have been vegan now solid for over a couple of weeks, and I am feeling wonderful, vibrant, and full of life.
Yeah, that's everybody can go there. It's the only I have two remarks. One is emotional. My girlfriend always says, I do not eat anything that has a face, which is very much for me to the core of the emotional reason. Because eating something that has a face, you feel what you do, if you just take that sentence. And the other thing is, if you go vegan, go organic, biological as well, because the supermarket food doesn't have enough nutrients to keep you alive if you go vegetarian or vegan. So you need basically whole food. You need something that has the nutrients you need. And most of this addiction to meat is coming from the bad quality of veggies we get in the supermarkets. Because then, of course, your body is screaming, I'm starving, give me something serious. And then you have this stupid experience that meat is the rescue thing to you. And then you're back into the addiction again. So if you do it, do both. Go not only vegan or vegetarian, but also bio. And then you will not miss anything, from my experience.
Yeah, I'm even working on growing all my own food.
Yeah, but take a greenhouse to protect it, because the stuff coming down from the sky is not letting much survive, at least not in Germany. We had a 90% loss in my garden this year, and it's getting worse every year. Decided to order a couple of greenhouses to protect us.
That just happened the other day, actually. Had everything, it seemed as if something had dropped from the sky in the rain and burnt everything.
Yeah, you get these little brownish dots first, and then the fungus goes in, or you have a day of a heavy chemtrailing, and then the pizza crystals turn the sunlight that is already filtered by ozone, and actually doesn't have UVB and UVC, but these stupid particles upconvert and create UVC in the lower atmosphere. And then you get sunburned within 10 minutes. And if you had like a new row of salad out there, it dies within a day. The worst measurement, some people do it regularly every day. I think the worst one I heard of was 1,400% UVC. And that is the cancerous thing. 1,400%, like getting sunburned 14 times quicker than would be normal.
Well, I remember the early days of chemtrails back in, when was it, 1995, somewhere around there. Even before that, in the Middle East, in the Gulf War, they had announced that they were laying these trails over the Middle East in order to use barium to track insurgents. Now, that was the first time I had seen a grid pattern. It was a satellite image for the Gulf War. Then we announce, we're going to let NATO foreign forces fly over America now. And next thing I know, we have chemtrails over the American skies. Now, for me, this started around 1996. And
yeah, correct.
I remember my first chemtrails because I grew up in Orlando, and I used to watch the Columbia Endeavor for the Discovery of Atlantis space shuttles launch all the time. And when I saw my first chemtrails, there were two that had formed a big X, obviously, in the sky. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wait a minute, rockets don't cross paths, you know. But this was the only thing I had for such a trail in the sky was a rocket launch. Then, you know, 10 years passes. There's plenty to talk about during that 10 years of the barium falling to the sky, people with flu-like symptoms, all the things that happened in the first days when they didn't seem to have this stuff correct. And then now we talk to people, we point them to in the sky and they say, oh, well, you know, that's always been there. I mean, talk about a biorobot. That's crazy.
It's hard to derive proof from the sky. There are actually only little things that are really 100% sure and could count as proof that something is wrong. And it's like your observation that it starts on a certain day. Like I remember a friend living in Croatia. Croatia joined NATO Partnership for Peace. And next day, the Croatian sky was full of trains. Kind of by aligning it with a historic date of signing a contract that you can see, okay, this was the contract and here we go in the sky. That is one thing. And the other one where you can clearly see that something is wrong is if you have a rather hazy day, but no real clouds, and then you go to the evening hours and you come to a sunset, then you will see that actually the stripes in front of the sun are still maintained because the particles photoionize. They absorb sunlight, eject electrons, and then the charged particles attract vapor to form these hazy, cloudy things. And if you look to the night end of the sky, it's the complete opposite, that you have a fully clear star sky and no haze at all, which means over there it's dark enough and the particles don't photoionize. So there's no vapor in there. This is kind of a clear proof that it's not water on carbon dust, because carbon dust does not photoionize. And the third thing that you sometimes can see, if you have very long trails, then you have a fraction of heavy particles that falls out of the trail and forms clouds that look a little bit more grayish than the trail itself. So you can see that at least you have two fractions. One is heavier, one is lighter, one stays in the original trail, and one falls out to create that more chemical layer in these chemically looking clouds. This is what for me is observable and would count as absolute proof that something is not natural. But it's only details, small details. If you want to really go into scientific proof, it's better to grab a microscope and look at the particles and the chemicals that are available in the raindrops. Then you can make signs and make a picture of what is raining down from the sky, what is in there as aerosols that rain down with the droplets. And it's actually the only thing that leads to real answers. If you take a microscope and make electro-optic analysis of the particles and chemical analysis of the chemicals found in the rain and the air samples.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. This should have been proven long ago. Certainly, we've had many experts coming forward about all of this, but without a chemtrail pilot to talk to, it seems like everybody just writes it off. But I remember clearly in the first days of chemtrails, I mean, this is something I lived through, I experienced. I've actually had two times. Now, this is crazy for me. Like, I feel like, and we're going to get into this, that my spiritual body puts me in particular places for particular reasons and things. Like, I have some strange purpose on this planet that I'm not completely aware of. So I ended up in Kansas City, and thousands of birds dropped dead over my head all over Kansas City. They had a major news break about it. It lasted about 5 seconds. They said, could have been poison, and just left it at that. They never even showed the dead birds. And then they went on to a 15-minute tirade about the dangers of a squirrel. I'm not lying, right? And then the same thing happened in Texas. Austin, Texas, thousands of birds dropped out of the sky. I'm there, right? So now I've had two occurrences of these birds dropping dead around me, already dead, coming to the ground. And then on top of this, back in the beginnings of chemtrails, this spider webs type substance was coming down to the ground as if they didn't quite have their consistencies correct yet or something. They, you know, it seemed like later these things stopped, but this spider web like substance would come down and it would cover everything. And then people, myself included, would touch it And suddenly everybody had flu-like symptoms. Now, again, the news announced we have a flu-like symptom epidemic. There is no virus, but everybody has the symptoms. And they just left it at that. Now, a lot of this is creating those biorobots.
Yeah, I can give you a precise explanation for the first one, the animals dropping dead. It was not only birds, it was also, I think fish populations dying off at the same time.
And yeah, definitely that.
Sea animals dying. And if you want to understand what's happening, you've got this accumulation of piezo crystals in the lung, debris, the air we are breathing. So there are shitloads of electro-optical active particles in your lung tissue. They found that with some examinations of Gulf War soldiers that had these piezo crystals as well in the lung. It's the only occasion where they were mentioned explicitly. And if you apply high voltage electromagnetic fields on these particles, they heat up. And if you apply enough of this energy, and this is HARP technology, up concentrating microwave radiation in a sky that functions as a set of mirrors and lenses so that you can direct radiation. In the military jargon, it's called horizontal drift plasma antennas and columnar focal lenses built out of smart dust to refocus radiation. So you basically have got a mirror cabinet in the sky that has the ability to redirect and upconcentrate every type of microwave radiation to certain points to function as a defensive system against ballistic rockets, for example, or upconcentrating energies to the amount to create a nuclear weapon-like explosion at a certain point, like creating scalar potentials that ignite the air or do whatever. I don't know what's happening at such high concentrations. Or you can just upconcentrate this electromagnetic microwaves onto the lung of a bee, and then you immediately create like 10,000 degrees around the piezo crystals, like for the rocket shield technology. 10,000 degree air temperature is what they need to melt an incoming rocket. So actually all the liquids in your lung tissue just vaporize. And I remember the people who examined these dead birds said all their lungs looked like being treated with a baseball thing, like beaten up to death. So yeah. This is this type of vapor explosion that is destroying the tissue from inside. And this is also for individual assassinations. So they don't like anybody. As far as I know, it's not official yet, or not official. It's not allowed for those entities to use this as a weapon against single people. I haven't heard about any casualties. But as far as I know, they tested all these weapons during the last Gulf War. One of the purposes to start the war is testing this new set of possibilities connected to smart dust and chemtrailing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's getting bizarre, and they're getting us all involved with this whole war machine. I mean, our entire civilization as it is today spawns from the war machine. I mean, the computers we use, down to Plato, everything we've got comes out of the military weaponization, and then we get the back products of this very thing. And I mean, we look at the computers that we are using today, and HP, Hewlett-Packard put out their latest lines of computers, and they're titled them Omen, Spectre, and Envy. You know, these are very satanic concepts and even deadly sins that are right there encoded in the bitten apple of our computer, you know? It's all very satanic.
Yeah, the cube is, in most of the software companies, they run on cubes. Symbol for Saturn, also one of the ancient, most important symbols for satanic cultures.
Also but very Freemasonic.
Yeah, also. The thing that most of the people can't see from the normal human perspective is that this entire zoo of technologies actually is not something that now is invented as the technological realm. It is basically a copy of the true nature of a species on the planet that is existing in nature as well, just that science haven't discovered the functionability of these biosphere organizational structures yet. We did it the other way around. We looked at transhumanism and the way they do it in this satanic sphere of mind control and influence and taking over collective aspects of the minds. And then we could, by understanding the technology, actually point to and find how nature does it in the normal way. So if you look at a normal planet, you've got the Earth type black goo that is actually the living spirit of the planet, or hosting the living spirit of the planet. And then you have loads of crystalline memory. If a crystal grows within the crust of the planet, every layer of stone that is built on top of this crystal basically freezes the moment, the quality of the moment, together with a kind of a registry of space-time density in the moment it is frozen. And if you have a crystal that is slowly, slowly, slowly grown over thousands of years, and you take your spirit and basically adjust the space-time density of your own spirit, you can read out every single layer of the crystal. This is how basically nature is creating our perception of past. If we want to remember something, we basically tune into the crystalline layer that was created in the moment that we want to recall. And this is kind of the basic concept of our mental realm we are living in, our perceptual realm, the way we create our 3D reality out of the real physics. The real physics has nothing to do with what we perceive. We basically have the abilities to create a 3D realm, which is connected to the quality of certain crystals that process gravimagnetic waves, electromagnetic waves, and scalar waves that all stand in rectangular relationships on each other, creating a 3D. And this is our consciousness field of reality that we create within the crystals in our body. It's magnetite, calcite, and apatite, as nanocrystals in the body. And once you understood this concept of how human consciousness is working on crystal technology or biotechnology, if you want to, you realize that whatever is raining down from the chemtrails is a precise copy of that system. We've got the alien black goo, and then we've got the barium strontium titanate instead of the apatite, and so on and so forth. So basically, we've got a secondary consciousness system on crystalline level that is just a little bit shifted in frequency. Yeah, in nature, we've got the quartz that is basically giving the main frequency that consciousness is tuned into, and then you've got all these smart dust particles that have a slightly different structure, but all consciousness that actually is ping-ponged with this artificial grid is consciousness that is caught in this satanic matrix. And this is basically it's not like starting to understand slowly what technology is and what biology is. If you really want to find the core functionability of both nature and matrix, you just need to look where it's equal and just shift a little bit in frequency. But the concept is the same. And then it gets scary, because then you realize that actually the entire computer technology is hosting that satanic realm on its back end, on the scalability of chip technology. So we are building something that is pulling us into a fake reality that has the destination to self-destruct. To self-destroy. And this is what we basically willingly and happily do, go from wearable to implantable and all the way down transhumanism as it's basically laid out by the big companies like Google, Microsoft. And we just take this little addictive advantage that these technologies give us, like being accessible on the modal, which is it's just pure stress at the end of the day to have this device ringing all the time. I dropped it again because it's just too harassing. But we're doing this for kind of the little profit we get on a daily basis, and the long-term result basically going down into a collective consciousness that definitely by definition and all rules of internal development is aimed at self-destruction. I think that price is a bit high.
I think you are correct. Yeah. And let me add a few ideas to that, just to give the folks some ideas of this crystal power. Certainly we have the story of Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, going into seance with people like the Astors and other the elite bloodlines and channeling a group known as the Nine. And then, of course, Roddenberry comes back and starts showing us this crystal computer technology in the Star Trek series. They have their dilithium crystals and they have their crystal computer systems. And that started to implant that very thought into people's minds. Now, guys, if you don't realize this, how important this is to the American government and many other governments, but I can talk about the American government. They sent a man named Nicholas Roerich, who is a famous guru. And Nicholas Roerich was paid by the American government to go to Tibet carrying some strange little sarcophagus that seemed to glow. He has many paintings of this, and you can see them all there on freemantv.com. And he was paid by the American government to go to Tibet and go into these ancient crystalline caverns and meet there with the inner earth people or whoever it was in Tibet that he was meeting with, paid for by the American government. But he painted these paintings of being in these giant quartz crystals scenarios with these people. And you can see all of that. And then Nicholas Roerich, this man who was paid, is the very man who convinced Wallace to put the pyramid on the dollar bill. So, you know, if you don't think this guy's connected, then you better start thinking again. Now, we have other layers of this where the story of the Ark of the Covenant, where many reported early on that there was a crystalline structure that was put inside of this perfectly created electromagnetic conductor built of gold and acacia wood, and you would put these things into this, and it became a weapon of mass destruction. According to the Bible and all historical statements on the Ark of the Covenant, it was used as a weapon of mass destruction by putting these crystalline structures into a golden acacia box that was a perfect electromagnetic device.
I see that very much connected to the geometry of the pyramids. Edgar Cayce did one channeling on Atlantis. It just came as a side effect of an already long afternoon, and then suddenly started to express himself about how Atlantis was organized. And he said actually it was all surrounding the culture of having triangular and rectangular pyramids with crystals inside that followed the shape of the pyramid. So you had I always forget the English names of these geometric forms, like two pyramids merged into each other, always looking as the Star of David from the side.
A tetrahedron.
And the same with a pyramid shape. Like having two pyramids, one standing on the head and then merged into each other. That was actually the one that was placed in the King's Chamber in the Great Pyramid in Gizeh. You can see that by size, that if you look at the inner measures of the sarcophag in the King's Chamber, exactly matches the outer size of the acacia wood, the box, the crystal wood was placed in. So we can see actually when Moses, he was not on Mount Sinai, he was on the big pyramid in Gizeh, and he was on the top where you have the black goo capstone, and he talked to Satan in the black goo capstone, and he was told to step down the pyramid and go into the cave, one third downhill, that is exactly the entrance to the king's chamber, and steal the artifact from the king's chamber and take it to the desert. So that's a little different history of basically the foundation of the Jewish religion.
Now, can I throw in one thing there, Harold?
Yeah.
Because there was a cardinal in Ethiopia who announced that he did have the Ark of the Covenant, the real Ark. And as we know, the Falashas, the black Jews of Ethiopia, actually have replicas of the Ark of the Covenant that they bring out every ceremony to do this. And one cardinal was claiming that he had the legitimate Ark of the Covenant and that he needed to go speak with the Pope and tell him that he was going to announce to the world that they had the actual Ark. Now, we never heard back from this cardinal. We did hear back from him. He claimed that this was a misunderstanding, that he wasn't going to show the Ark to anyone, but that he did have it. And as soon as this is occurring, we get this strange, now I follow code. I believe the secret societies like the Freemasons are sending code through specific titles and things of that nature. So at that moment, they announced the piracy of the Sirius Star, which was a ship in the coast, Gulf of Yemen. And every nation in the world came to the Gulf of Yemen over this piracy of the Sirius Star. And as you know, the Sirius Star is important to all these ancient cultures and to the Freemasons.
Yeah,
pulled every nation in. And then they announced that there was a bizarre magnetic anomaly occurring there in the Gulf of Yemen, just off of where the land of Cain. And, these are just things that come up along the way that you see. I follow these little leads and, you know, everything starts to tie together that we've got this much bigger story going on of what you know, calling a satanic force that is developing a matrix, if you will.
Yeah, but there are a couple of things about the technology of these arts that is good to know. One thing is there were hundreds of them in Atlantis. When Atlantis went down under, part of that was brought to Egypt and part to Great Britain. So there are many surviving crystals. One is mentioned as the box of the Pandora when it was discharged. You could see the content of these things that are actually very traumatic to a biosphere, to a planetary consciousness. All the evils of the world is basically the memory of a planet that goes through self-destruction. This is the content of these things. If you produce a replica, it automatically self-charges with collective fields. If it's triangular, it self-charges with emotional fields. And if it's rectangular, it self-charges with mental fields. So it's hard to distinguish from the physics, from the pure physics, a new made or an ancient arc. Because they all host collective consciousness, building up a very high scalar potential by absorbing all these emotional energies or mental energies. It's like a storage device that collects the energy it can collect. But quality-wise, there's a huge difference between the replicas and the original ones, because the original ones bring the template of self-destruction from other planets. They really host all evils, the entire emotional and mental experience of a planet that went through a transhumanistic self-destruction. And this is really evil stuff to discharge. This is why the expulsion from paradise was so striking, because they opened one of these emotional things into the ley line grid of our planet. And then the planet was so much in pain that humanity had to or decided to disconnect from the collective because it was too painful to stay in there. So you can see that these things are really, if they're really charged with a self-destruction process, they're extremely dangerous. While if you build a replica, it's just like, it doesn't make a difference to what you feel when you just tune into the collective consciousness that we have. It's not pleasant. We are in pain due to what we do to our planet, but it's not as bad as a real end time experience. And if you talk about single arcs, we've got the Ark of Gabriel that was found in Saudi Arabia, brought to Antarctica by the Russians. We've got an Irish Ark that is now placed in London, somewhere underground, under a stone circle. The entire stone circle culture in Great Britain is related to the arcs brought from Atlantis to Great Britain. And we've got the Jewish Ark that actually was stolen in Egypt, brought to Judea, to Jerusalem. And then I think the son of Solomon wanted to steal it from his father. But Solomon got a hint or knew about what was happening. It was kind of with the Queen of Saba, his son, and the Queen of Saba decided to turn against Solomon. So he replaced it with a copy. So the one that is in North Africa actually is the copy produced by King Solomon to fool his son and the Queen of Saba to steal a wrong artifact. And he hid the one that is the real one that is actually an Atlantean one that has this core evil memory of a full self-destruction. He hid it somewhere else. It has been found as well. I'm not in the position to tell exactly where. This is still confidential. But this one showed up as well. So you've got all sorts of arcs all over the place. And the only thing you can say that if you have a country on the planet that is a source of trauma and destruction, be sure there's an arc somewhere underground in this country. Look at Great Britain, with the empire destroying most of the world, bringing trauma, endless trauma, to all sorts of countries, always over the entire planet. The one that was in Saudi Arabia, look at Wahhabism, in the militant and evil Islam that is spreading from there. This is all connected to the inspiration introduced by these arcs into the collective consciousness field of countries and regions.
Well, let me add to that, that I have found an Ark of the Covenant replica in every Grand Lodge of Freemasonry that I have been into. I have numerous pictures in my photography section. I found them at the George Washington Masonic Memorial. I found one in the Philadelphia Grand Lodge and another one, I don't remember where. But they have these replicas of these arcs in almost every Grand Lodge of Freemasonry around the globe.
I hope it doesn't sound anti-Semitic when I connect, especially the Jewish culture, to not talking to the God, but talking to Satan. But I take that simple and plain. Every culture that it goes primarily into blood and fire sacrifice is black magic, because killing beings to extract life force is only done by somebody who has no connection to the source, who cannot sustain his own life through the divine cord to source. So this is per definition kind of the introduction ritual of black magic influence. And just remember, Abraham was asked to sacrifice his own son. And then he said, okay, I'm going to do it. And to say thank you for being so stupid to be willing to sacrifice your own child, he was allowed to take a goat instead, but it still was fire sacrifice. So this is openly satanic. And there's even a word to it in the Jewish tradition. It's El Shaddai. And that the other concept of the loving one God that is the core idea of monotheism, it's seeping in later. But if you really take it as a history book and look at the beginning of the Semitic religions, of beginning of world religion, It started on the black magic side, on the satanic side, with blood and fire sacrifice. And even you see this kind of going through all world religions, even into Christianity. If you look at what people do actually in the Catholic Church, it's a death cult. Sorry. Yeah. He had joy and love to give. And what do? We display him on a cross day in, day out.
Right.
Yeah, and it's so obvious. It's so obvious. We drink his blood and eat his meat. Oh, yeah. I'm running to puke if I go into one of these black mess. It's and this is something. Maybe it's a good point to jump into matrix consciousness from there, because most of the people do that and have the feeling that this is completely normal. You see, day in, day out, you see details in life that completely crisscross and devalue everything you normally believed in. And people don't get it. Yeah, the sky was blue 25 years, and then it suddenly turns gray and has rainbow colors in chemical clouds and... yeah, but you see it, but you don't see it. Your eyes see it, your brain doesn't see it. I had like collections of pictures, 100% clear, like showing the biological cycle of the Morgellon fungus, taking that to state authorities that would have been in charge of dealing with the threat of an unknown disease. And they all stared at me as if I'm sitting there with blank paper, because they couldn't see what is on the paper. And this is kind of where we realize that actually things are visible in a way, but something in ourselves is filtering out all details that do not comply with the matrix view of the world.
Yeah.
Like we're on a linear path of history, and we're the only species in the universe, and we have technological development that is going to bring us into a beautiful future. And I don't even like to go there anymore. It's so weird because everything is upside down. Yeah, you've got universities that are there to develop more knowledge while they're just blocking people from understanding what's happening. You've got politics that are meant to represent the will of people, while the politics are actually just messing around with the will of people and doing the exact opposite of what people do. We have militaries that are meant to protect countries while they run one offensive war after another. Everything is completely the opposite of what it's called, and people don't get it, because something within this biorobot mind is filtering out every detail that is opposing this matrix thing of consciousness people have in their minds. And there's nothing you can do about that from outside. You can't argue with that. You can't scream and cry out of pain because you see a human that is completely lost. They will get arrogant on you if you do that. Call you crazy, call you whatever, conspiracy theorist. From my view, everything is crystal clear. If I go to a city like Berlin, I see like 90% biorobots spending their day running on completely self-destructive mental programs that run in cycles, and produce nothing except of re-energizing the ego that is this external malware program. They are identified with and think that this is a them. And in this state, the collective aspect of the satanic consciousness, the matrix, if you want to call it, has the ability to completely erase and blend out every single detail of life that could give people a chance to wake up. So I see 90% completely lost humans, completely disconnected from higher self. So the real human is not even allowed to look into the organism anymore. 100% identified with the ego, which is actually the front end surface displaying something that feels like free will, while we 100% run on collective consciousness plus written programming code that is our language.
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, when we have the Pentagon spending $885 million on their AI project, and that's just the Pentagon alone, you can clearly see that this is a dominant force, something coming in to control everything, and it's usurping all the natural talents of humanity. Whereas, I mean, you and I and, you know, people our age are going to be the last of the people that remember blue skies, that remember before the World Wide Web, that had to go to libraries to get our knowledge. We're going to be the last of them. And, you know, how much longer do we have to keep this story alive, to remind people of what life was like before Google bought killer robots and before all of this, the natural human. I've experienced this as a traveling hobo. You know, I don't know what to call myself. You know, I just wandered the United States and now some of the globe. And I was constantly led to the right place at the right time. Psychic connections with everyone I met and everything formed this like divine matrix that I could witness and tried to describe to everyone like, oh my God, you guys don't understand. Like, life is happening. And if you go into it, it will happen for you. But everybody's like, no, I need to stay within the matrix. I need a job. I got to have enough money to do that. You know, all those little circuit breakers come in to stop us from being that real human.
Yeah. For me, it was very helpful to understand the physical concepts behind the different realities. If you look at instinct, the one that was cut off planet Earth and replaced by satanic influence and mind. If you look at the chakra mandalas associated with those energetic centers in the human body, it's all binary or quadro. And if you look at the emotional aspect of humanity, it's all trinary. It's like in 60 degree relationships, the chakra mandalas, and also basically the rotational symmetry of the energy vortexes running on the chakra. This is what these mandalas express. And the heart chakra is integrating binary and trinary. It is a kind of the 12 leaved rose that has both the binary concept included and the trinary. So basically the heart on the level of optical physics has the ability to unite and merge emotion and thought. This is how the human actually is built. And if you look at what people focus on, if somebody is focusing on his ego, he's all mind-based. So everything that he can process in his realm of identification with the self is binary. And according to the law of resonance, this is what he experiences in reality. So reality becomes a matrix for him, and everything follows binary rules because this is what he's projecting out. Then, of course, if you say the truth on your job, you get fired. Because it's like typical for this binary world of action and reaction. This is all you expect, and this is all what happens. While if you take the inner journey to basically reawaken your emotional body and unite mind and emotion in your heart chakra, and then go out and just expect synchronicities, then according to the law of resonance, you wake up next morning in a world that is full of synchronicities. And the important thing to understand is that it's not something to discuss, whether the one possibility is reality or the other possibility is reality, because it always ends up in these discussions. So the rationalist goes to the spiritual guy and tells him, you're wrong. No, he's not wrong. He's tuning into a different aspect of reality. And when you formulate it in that way, the guy that is completely mental, he's just missing out on possibilities. But instead of feeling poor or feeling himself as somebody who actually is mental in the worst meaning of the word, he goes out with all his hatred and judging and tells the one that is going down a spiritual path that he's delusional. No, he just basically is using different aspects of reality. He's going into the trinary, and if everything is really, really good, into the 12-leaf structure of heart consciousness, and then is acting on the full possibility of our reality. And by the law of resonance, all these things that are non-linear will materialize in his life. And this is how I maintain my life. I know I've got abundance in my heart. I know that I love basically all humans, whether they're here or there, I don't care. I contribute whatever I think is necessary to contribute. I never ask for money. But if once you're in this consciousness of expecting synchronicities, this inner abundance is just reflected on you, and everything you need to live comes to you. Just don't predefine the way. Don't say, I need like 10,000 euro to fix my barn. This was where I was like 12 years ago when I bought my little farmhouse. I had a barn that was on the way to fall to bits and pieces. And now I've got like windows that somebody was building. He was building a villa in Berlin for somebody, but he was a drunkard. So when he measured the windows for the big winter garden, he forgot to reduce it by 1 centimeter to be able to put them into place. So he ended up with windows for 40,000 euros that he couldn't use anymore. Then he went bankrupt, and I could get the entire load from his garage for transport costs. And then I needed wooden floors, so a friend of mine pointed me to a house in Berlin that was completely renewed, and I've got my 150 square meter of wooden floor that was still in good condition for transport costs. And like now I've got like building material for, I don't know, 120,000 euros lying there, and not one piece is double, kind of, and I can start fixing and rebuilding my barn. And when I'm done, I've got a palace, not a barn, because yeah, the material is so high quality. This is how it works if you fully trust this non-linear heart consciousness pattern of reality.
Let me share mine. I just had a similar thing occur. You know, it's a lot of work and a lot of nervousness that comes with being a broadcaster, especially in this modern censored world where Alex Jones and everybody, including myself, are being taken down. Something I'm going to get into next week, guys, just so you know. But so, you know, I'm looking for other outlets for myself and things that I will enjoy as I reach my retirement age, right? And I have no plan. I let the universe guide me and bring to me the things that I don't even know, like the television show. I would have never done that. If somebody hadn't heard me and said, hey, you need a TV show, I would have never thought to do this, what I'm doing now, which it seems I was naturally born to do. But now I'm trying to shift that, and I want to get into this new healthy plan. I want to get into, you know, getting my hands dirty in the garden and all of that. Well, all of a sudden, a microgreen operation has fallen into my lap, along with a whole group of people to network with. Like, all of a sudden, it was like, hey, you're now a microgreen farmer. So, guys, I am now a microgreen farmer. I'm starting Beautiful Soul Microgreens. And that just happened, right? I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know. I didn't plan. it happened. So then as I'm coming home from a meeting on the microgreens, I met with some people in Virginia and I had to come back down. I met with an old guest of the show, Brandon Powell, who is brother of Randy Powell, who does all the vortex mathematics. You guys might remember him, but not you, the listeners. But Brandon Powell is working with the character Wim Hof. And I don't know if you or the audience is familiar with Wim Hof, but he's this superhuman, well known for walking up Mount Everest in shorts and flip-flops. This guy can bury himself in ice, just come right out. No, I mean, this guy is superhuman, right? And he's training people on how to be superhuman. Well, on my way home, I stopped just to say hi to Brandon because he was halfway on my trip. And all of a sudden, now I'm involved in the Wim Hof training program. They have me as their webmaster, and I'm starting to bond in with that group. So now I've got superhuman abilities coming my way. And then the final piece of this puzzle, of course, is something that I've stood for but don't talk about a whole lot, but that's the cannabis industry. And right at that same moment, because, you know, this whole opioid depression, all of that, you know, and cancer, and, you know, if we're going back to Egypt, if we're going back to Atlantis, folks, they were smoking marijuana, okay? They had cannabis cultivated. George Washington had cannabis cultivated. You know, it has been part of civilization since civilization was civilization and before. And so this was the third piece of my trifecta. And suddenly I was contacted by a cannabis medicinal corporation who the board of directors are all huge fans of Freeman. And they want me involved in this now cannabis distribution center for medicinal, where it sets up for everyone to be able to have it shipped to them wherever they are, even if they're in a non-legal state. So all of these things happened in 1 week on my way home from just the Rainbow Gathering, actually. And all of a sudden, I've got this whole new life just unfolding in front of me. And all I can do is sit back and go, all right, let's do this thing and put my best heart, my best foot forward.
Mm. Yeah, this is how reality is created. And the sum of all realities, of all individual realities, is our future. So actually, there's no space left to feel yourself as a victim of anything.
Well, we do. And, you know, we're wrapping up now here. We got about 5 more minutes. And that is the problem, though, is everyone feels like they are powerless. Everybody feels lack of sovereignty. No one's going to go sign up for this cannabis delivery because they're too afraid. And they don't want to put their...
It's criminal.
Yeah.
This is the lingual programming, like setting words with a mental representation of an emotion in the mental field. And this is working like a machine. It's incredible.
So we need to figure out how to reprogram sovereignty into people as meanwhile, we're dealing with cloned monkeys, AI, augmented reality, virtual reality, and of course, the social media construct that is causing everybody to be on the exact same page at the exact same time, which is so freaky to me.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, we just have to unleash life again. It's. I don't even feel like reprogramming anything because then I'm not much better than them. It's right. Like there is a spark in ourselves.
Right.
Whether you're identified with it or not, it's waiting out there to be invited back in again. And if you re-invite that spark and learn to listen to your true self, which sometimes is a long way to go down to go there if you're completely basically polluted biochemically. And especially the fluorine topic is essential for connecting to the true self. Because it's shutting down the pineal gland, and then there's no tool to reconnect to yourself, and then you're doomed basically. If you had too much fluorine and haven't had it out of your body yet, then there's no way to connect because the organ is shut down that is meant to make that connection. But once the connection is there, I mean, even your ego can make the decision to detox out of practical reasoning. You know, you hear about additional possibilities you can't access yet, but you want to get there. And then your ego can step down that path and free the true self. And this is a beautiful story. For every single one, this can be a beautiful story. That's how everybody, I think, started. Because from childhood, we're not coming out as complete and functionable humans. We're coming out as the biorobot wrecks that are created in schools. So we have to start from somewhere. But still, even the ego can decide. Maybe listening to this very, very low voice coming from the heart that we call conscience. That tells us what is wrong and what is right. And then you can start from there and set free. And once this true self is set free, once your creativity, your inspiration, your joy is flowing again, it's an explosion. It doesn't need any reprogramming, and it's self-propelling in a way. Yeah. If I look at my emotional past, if I look at myself 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it's not easy to remember. But I remember what music I listened to back then.
Right.
And by re-listening to the music that you loved at times, I just have to realize, oh God, I was a completely depressive. There was not a single spark of life in myself. And still, I kind of did it to go down that path of bringing my back into a shape to be able to wake up to my true nature. And it's all about detoxing. It's all about self-observation and making decisions so that everything that is ugly has to stop.
And you don't need to be in opposition of this. You just need to go in the right direction instead of fighting what you're against, right? I mean, isn't that kind of...
Exactly. Yeah.
So are you a biorobot, folks? All right, you know, do you...
We are not.
We are not biorobots. I know that we... here are definitely outside of the biorobot field. We feel like outsiders. We're definitely trying to find our way on a planet that has disassociated with us. And, you know, just realize, as Harold had said, that what you expect happens. And if you are focused on these negative terms, you're focused inside this language barrier, which Harold and I will get into in the second hour. Then you are bound in this matrix and you will not escape. But if you allow yourself and don't plan, move without fear. Fear is the mind killer, as it said, and allow the universe to unfold before you. You will find that you are in a divine matrix, the one that is meant to establish life here on planet Earth, and you will clearly see how to save Atlantis, because it will be more than obvious for anyone and everyone listening. So I hope that you have gained a lot from this discussion. We're going to get deep into more into the second hour. So please get over to freemantv.com and subscribe. Keep us going, because as you can see, they're taking everybody down. And to get more of Harold Kotzvella, head over to timeloopsolutions.com and lock in, start to get some of this data that will help release you from this mental prison. This robotic society, we can easily escape with your heart mind. And we will be right back.